Sportsnet 650.
We are joined on the line from Sportsnet.ca writer Ian McIntyre. Good morning, Ian.
I wish I was back on the ice with the team. Instead, I'm in Toronto, being grounded in Rogers Sportsnet culture, and
wow,
be raring to go when I come back.
You're onboarding today.
You're having a double-double of red Kool-Aid, are you?
2.5 days worth.
I've done that. And I've
just did that.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I enjoyed it.
You do pick up some nuggets.
You do. You know, let's talk about this team.
Interesting, though, is I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
What's interesting is it's such a diverse group of people here. Like there's bankers, there's software guys, there's call center people, and nobody else who works in sports is here. So it's great because nobody's telling me what's wrong with the Canucks or how great the Leafs are.
Well, that comes tomorrow. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Now the Vancouver had the day off yesterday, so nobody was on the ice. You didn't miss anything. They come back from China. They practice on Monday, and lo and behold, Travis Green comes out, does an interview, and throws some great nuggets our way. Even before that, he had Brock Besser with the Sedins, which caused a tizzy in the market, Ian.
Yeah, as I imagine it would. Anything with Brock Besser these days causes a tizzy in the market, and well, it should. You know, I'm thinking about this. He's a 23rd overall pick, so it's not like he's a top five or six guy like they've had in the last couple of years. But there's probably more expectation, anticipation, and excitement over Brock Besser than any prospect since at least the Sedins.
And
you could maybe even make the case since Pavel Bure. It's an awful lot to put on him, but the thing about Besser is that everything he's asked to do, not only does he do it, but he exceeds it. Mm-hmm. You know, he passes with A+ every test that he's given. So him playing with the Sedins, it could work. I mean, the only thing, and I'm obviously not alone in this theory, I think the Sedins are best now if the person that they're playing with has superior mobility. But that's not the number one thing they need in the person they're playing with. But it's nice if speed is in that player's toolbox. You know, Brock Besser, his skating is going to get better, just like his shot is still getting better. But at this point, he's not the fleetest player. So I wonder about that. But then again, if you look at this Canuck lineup, where are the fleet players? So Besser in a top six role, absolutely. And the Sedins, until proven otherwise, they're still top six players, whether they're on the first line or the second line. There's not six forwards on the Canucks right now who are better than them offensively. So I think it's a match that would work really well.
Do you anticipate a bounce back year from the Twins? And I mean, maybe this is just a hunch more than anything, but I really feel like this will be a bounce back season for Daniel and Henrik. And for me, I think one of the big reasons for this, Ian, I just see variety and legitimate options that Travis Green can roll out on the wing for Daniel and Henrik this season. If it doesn't click right away for Brock Besser, they can try Louis Eriksson again. If it doesn't work with Louis Eriksson, they can go to Marcus Granlund. If it doesn't work with Granlund, they can try Thomas Vanek. Like, there's four legitimate options right there. I feel like these guys will find a way to bounce back this season and see a significant increase from what their offensive output was last year.
Well, there are more options, and I think indicative of that is the guy who wasn't on your list, James, is Jake Virtanen.
Yeah.
Who a year ago everybody would have been saying, "Well, is he going to play with the Twins? You know, where does Virtanen fit?" There are more options. I've thought a lot about this, about the Sedins and what a quote unquote bounce back year would look like for them. I think a bounce back year is if the power play is better, because if the power play is better, they're going to get another 8, 10, 12 points apiece. And that's the difference. If you gave them each 12 more points last season, we're not having the conversation in the same context about them this season. But at 5-on-5, I think the reality is they're slightly diminished with age, as all players are, almost all players are when they're 37 years old. And to me, a bounce back here, at least 5-on-5, is that they're better defensively than they were. They're not the same liability when they're on the ice, and that their production doesn't recede any further. I 40 or 50 points, I really, myself, I don't have a problem at this stage of their careers if they're in the 40s. I mean, it'd be better if they're at least in the 50s, but I don't have a problem with that because that's still pretty good second-line production by NHL standards, but they can't do that and be minus 20, minus 30. Better defensively and a better power play would go a long, long way for those guys.
And Ian, that was my point. In I'd like to see Besser with Horvat because I just think that's a line that can have legs in the future of the organization together. And especially Sven Berchi needs a big year this year also. So I like those three together. I think they can grow together as a line. And I think you just, even though the Sedins are talented players, and if you want to use that on the power play, it's one thing. But I think 5-on-5, for Besser's development, it's better to play with those two players that he can grow with.
Well, and also there's with Horvat, he's a terrific skater, and there's a power element to his game. And Berchi is such a clever guy with the puck and kind of a finesse player. So there seems to be a great mix of components if you put Besser with them. And on top of that, as you say, Steve, this is a group we could see together if they're successful, maybe for 10 years,
yeah,
which is forever, but at least for the next 3 or 4. I mean, how long is Bo's contract? 6 years. So I would like that. But again, you got to find a way. It's not just trying to get one line going. The coach will say he's trying to get 4 lines going. I would settle for 3. In fact, yeah. I'd settle for 2.5.
Yeah, right now.
That's nitpicking, Ian. That's nitpicking right there.
If you had your first 2 lines going well so that you're getting production across your top 6, then you can, I think that would be a pretty good achievement for this club. And they have to, maybe the Sedins play better with Brock Besser. Maybe that's a better fit. Ultimately, again, I still like somebody who's a little more mobile at this stage, and I thought Granlin looked okay with the Sedins, the Sedins plus minus notwithstanding. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of choices, and one of those choices, let's remember as well, one of those choices will be to bump the Sedins further down the depth chart, and with less responsibilities on special teams if they're not productive, and if they struggle, and if they're a liability. And that was never an option before. It never had to be because the Sedins were so good. But even last year at times, you know, there just wasn't anyone better. As much as they were struggling, there wasn't anyone better. There wasn't enough depth to provide choices. And now there is that depth.
And that's the encouraging thing, I think, if you're a Canucks fan heading into this upcoming season. We're talking to Ian McIntyre here on Sportsnet 650. Maybe an opportunity for Jim Benning to gloat if he was ever that type of guy, but Hunter Shinkarak placed on waivers yesterday, and I can remember the reaction from so many. And you know what? I'll lump myself in that at the time as well, thinking, why are you giving up on a kid who seems to have this goal-scoring ability that this team needs in the pipeline for a guy who might not top out to be anything more than a third liner? This deal screams overwhelming victory here for the Vancouver Canucks at this point in time, a couple of years later.
Yeah, and Frankie Corrado was on waivers again for the third time. So Bring him back! I thought maybe the internet would just melt in Vancouver yesterday with those transactions. Yeah, I mean, you get some right and you get some wrong. And Benning has had some wrong. You know, he gave up a second-round pick for Sean Bay. I think he gave up a third rounder for Andre Pedan, so we're still waiting to see whether that works out. But that getting Granlin and getting Berchi were both excellent trades. There was a lot of howling at the time, like not just criticism, but outrage at the time. So I imagine there's a lot of people working on their I Was Wrong columns and blogs and podcasts and stuff. So yeah. I look forward to hearing that. But yeah, I don't think Benning is, from what I know of Jim, I don't think he's the kind of gloat. I think he realized very early on what the market was going to be like and what what his decisions were going to be met with in terms of scrutiny and criticism. And I don't know that he enjoys it, but I don't think he's worried about it. So in that respect, I don't think after he makes the trade, if he thinks that he's made the right deal, I don't think he's waiting for 2 years later to say, I told you so. But he certainly could. He certainly could on that one.
Ian, I just want to circle back to one thing you said, because I think it's extremely significant. We haven't heard a lot of this year, and that is, or this training camp at least, your suggestion that the Sedins potentially as a third line. That's interesting, because if you have Eriksson, Burmistrov, and Vanek as your second line, Horvat being your first line, now you've got the Sedins playing, what, 10 to 12 minutes a game type thing? Yeah.
Well, you have them certainly at even strength, no more than that. But I would say I don't think there are six or seven guys who are still better on the power play than them. So you could play them as third-line guys and have them on your first or second power play unit. I mean, Sam Gagne last year played on the fourth line in Columbus, but was on the first power play unit of what early in the season was one of the National Hockey League's best power plays. Even when the Sedins came in the early 2000s, they essentially were getting third line minutes under Mark Crawford, but would get on the second unit power play. And there was lots of debate then about were they getting too much or is this the right way to use them. I think that's a distinct possibility.
Interesting.
You know, we do get fixated on labels, and I do as a journalist, because it just makes things easier to understand if you can compartmentalize that way and say, these guys are your first line, second, third. I think the reality is whether you call them the third line or the second line, there's a very good chance that their minutes are going to go down slightly this year. And if you're down to, you know, 12 or 13, then essentially you're now third line players. I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely, but it is, as we said a minute ago, this is an option. Like everything is open now. Everything is to be contested, because they have a new coach and they have new depth and they're just in a stronger position that way. I don't know in the end whether they're going to be any stronger team. I think they will be a little better than they were last year, but there certainly are choices there for Travis Green that weren't there for Willie Desjardins. And there's also that inclination there from Travis Green, that willingness, I think, to do things like that maybe Willie was hesitant to do because he felt so loyal to players, because he wanted to support them and believed in them. Well, Travis Green will support them and believe in them as well, but they're going to have to return that with performance.
Ian, appreciate this tons this morning. Great talk, and get back to onboarding, all right? Happy onboarding.
All right. I did the wave twice yesterday.
Nice. Well done.
That's considered harassment in Toronto, by the way. So. Thanks, Ian.
See you guys.
Sportsnet 650.